And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. Now, I did mention that the reflection is going to be quick anyway. It's not going to take too long. But we are, when it comes to forgiveness, like I said, it's a very broad topic. So it's only right that we look at it in the context of our own forgiveness of others. When we get baptized, we get that sort of power. It allows us to have that sort of, it's a spiritual thing that we're talking about anyway. The forgiveness that we're talking about is if you don't have that sort of power, if the Spirit, the Holy Spirit doesn't live in you, you wouldn't be able to forgive. It's easier said than done. The preaching that we do is easier said than done. So we need a special power to be able to do that. I was having a conversation with a friend the other day at work, and he said to me, we as Christians, what at all are we talking about? After all, God gave his only begotten son to us, and we killed him. He forgave us and replaced him with something else, which is the Holy Spirit. I'll be mentioning that in my reflection. Now, whilst Jesus was being molested and beaten and all that, he still shouted and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. So what else? When it comes, these things should serve as a lesson to us. If you give your only begotten son, again, forgave us, replaced him with the Holy Spirit, because he loved us. Christ himself made that sound, made that noise, made that cry, Father, forgive them. And if we say we are his apostles, we are apostles, followers of Christ, then we should be able to forgive in spite of the circumstance in which we find ourselves. Now, Mark is the only book in the Bible that describes itself as a gospel, meaning the good news about Jesus, a verse that was read, if we look at our quarterly planner, a verse that was read 5 weeks ago on the second Sunday of Advent. And if we read Mark 1:1, we'll see that 5 weeks ago, second Sunday of Advent, we'll see that Mark described, is the only book that described the Bible as the gospel, the good news of Christ. Now, the other thing I would say about Mark's gospel is that there is no word or phrase in Mark about Jesus' birth or growing up as a youth. We don't see that in Mark's gospel. Mark starts right away with the good news about Jesus' baptism as the beginning of his ministry. That is how Mark goes about his gospel. Now, his baptism is the fulfillment of the messenger that the prophet Isaiah promised many years ago before Jesus was even born. a promise that John the Baptist reiterated during Jesus' baptism. That he, John, was baptizing with water, but Jesus, who also came to be baptized by the Jordan River, would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so, we will this morning begin our reflection on Jesus' baptism. We'll look at that, to look at how our own baptism can benefit us in forgiving others when we feel we are bitterly wronged by them. How can our baptism, our own baptism, help us to forgive those whom we feel have wronged us bitterly? Why? Because forgiveness is not an easy act to practice at all, but the benefit is huge if we are able to practice it as Christians. So, the two main components of Jesus' baptism that I want us to quickly look at are: one, repentance, spiritually moving away from darkness to light. We read this in Genesis 1:4. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from darkness. So, the sin, which forms part of our darkness, is what God doesn't like. He's asking us, God looked at that and said, we should move from that darkness to light. That is what he describes as good. The second component is forgiveness. That is Mark 1:4. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching baptism of repentance and forgiveness. Because the Bible says, our sins can never be forgiven unless we learn to forgive others. That is the truth. And of course, these two elements are still true about our own baptism today, because it marks the end of our old life. Because the question that normally is asked during baptism is, do you renounce your own way of life? And baptism also allows us to begin a new life in God's grace and forgiveness, which can only be attained through baptism. Baptism prepares us to follow Jesus in order to renounce our own sinful way of life. In fact, you and I know very well that we cannot follow Jesus with our physical mind. That is impossible. No, we need some form of spiritual assistance, which is the Holy Spirit. God knows that. That is why he replaced his son when we took him away with the Holy Spirit. So, baptism paved the way for us to repent in accordance to God's commandment. Without baptism, we cannot follow Jesus. We cannot repent according to how God commands us to do. Brothers and sisters, when it comes to forgiveness in terms of forgiving others, I will say God is a generous man. He brought his only begotten son to the world and we killed him, like I said. But God forgave us and said, I wouldn't leave you alone, and replace him with the Holy Spirit, who would live with us forever to support us during baptism for our sins to be forgiven, so that we can also forgive others. Now, we just have to understand this the way other theologians expresses it. That is the only way we can forgive others. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot forgive others. That is what theologians emphasize all the time, which is what I want us to hammer home when we are during our reflection this morning about baptism. The Holy Spirit dwelling in us so that we can forgive others who we feel have wronged us bitterly. And all these things happen during baptism. Forgiveness. It is good to forgive. You might have gone through hell on earth because of the ill someone has done to you. And you might have vowed that I will never forgive them even when I die. But I have this for you today, that forgiveness is not evidence of weakness. No. It is a sign of maturity. It takes maturity to forgive those who hurt you, both physically and emotionally. Forgiveness ties us to the past. It debases the present and hinders us from future. Forgiveness is a prison. Unforgiveness is a prison. It cages us in a hole. It cages our destiny and puts us into a hole, into a depressive hole. That is what unforgiveness does to us. When you decide not to forgive, you damage your joy and bitterness sets in. I'm sure everyone today has heard about Nelson Mandela, the late president of South Africa. This man I describe as a prototype of forgiveness. Why? Because he invited a state prosecutor for lunch, the man who convicted him on charges of sabotage and sentenced him to life imprisonment was invited for lunch. Now, after he was released from prison many years later, he honors the prosecutor to have a lunch with him. Like I said, this man, this prosecutor, is known as Percy Yonta. On the day of the lunch, this man said to the media, he wonders in what country in the world you would have the head of the government inviting someone who prosecuted him 30 years ago for lunch. That is what Percy Yonta said to the media. He said it shows a great humility of Nelson Mandela. Jesus on the cross cried out loud to the Father and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He was bruised. He went through serious pain in order to forgive us our sins so that we, the disciples too, can forgive others. Now, Matthew 6:14, the Bible says that if you forgive them their trespasses, our Heavenly Father will also forgive you your sins. Now, it's asking us not to repay evil with evil. It's easier said than done for me to stand here and quote these things from the Bible. In practice, we need the Holy Spirit to support us in doing this. The Holy Spirit will say, let go. No matter what the problem is, let go. You might have been accused of something you didn't do. The Holy Spirit will say, it's not your battle, it's that of mine. Let go. What I'm preaching, I keep reiterating that it's easier said than done. But that is what Christianity firmly teaches us to do. You trusted them, you loved them, you shared with them all that you have, but they negatively advertise you. The Holy Spirit will say, let go. It's not your battle, it's my battle. You got molested. It has come to haunt you every time you think about it at night. The Holy Spirit says, just let go. The question is that easy? No. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. Because forgiveness or unforgiveness is a pitch. And the only way out of that pitch for anybody who has fallen into this is to climb that ditch of unforgiveness by allowing the Holy Spirit to dwell in them. The person broke, he broke up with you, particularly the youngsters, after all that you did for him. She said she can no longer marry you 3 days to the marriage. What do you have to do? The Holy Spirit says, let go. Let's set ourselves free today because forgiveness is a spiritual medication. It heals the soul and gives us a sound mind. That's what forgiveness is about. Which is all that we need in 2024. Now, we are not going to discuss the baptism in infants, but remember that an infant baptized into a family of faith will be brought up in that faith to know to forgive. Whenever they are truly hurt, they are bitterly hurt, that infant, once baptized in faith, will learn to forgive. Look at the nine crying. Look at our Jesus today. Let's get our youth baptized. Let's get our children baptized. Right from the beginning, let it be to educate them that the Spirit is there to support them whenever they are hurt. A friend at work said to me, he can't remember anything about his baptism when he was young. And said he can't have any recollection at all about it. But I know something drastically happened. Because the fact that he remained a Christian is a proof of it. And the testimony of God's presence in his life is a proof of it. That is the proof of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, even if you get baptized whilst you are young. So let us understand baptism as a means by which God's grace comes to us. Physically, it's only a small splash of water, but it marks the beginning of a whole new life of union in Jesus, becoming part of the worldwide Christian church. Because we are able to forgive one another in Christ as God commands us to do. And he's asking us to start practicing that in 2024. I know we're doing that already, but he's please asking us to learn to forgive in 2024. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.